earth that's weak, you know. Because when you look at the word humility, that means that you essentially allowing yourself to be in a low position on the sake of yourself or for the sake of somebody else. But in terms of Christianity, humility is something that is actually very strong and very powerful. The person who is humble is actually stronger than the person who is prideful and proud. And when I look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with all the things that he did, I can definitely say that he was very humble. He was the most humble man to walk here on this earth. When I think about Jesus Christ, I can see that he was humble from his birth all the way to his death. As a matter of fact, it was very humbling for him to even come down here to this earth. Very humble. Now, in Revelation chapter 21, we're given a brief image of how heaven truly is. And it tells us that up in heaven that there is no sun and no moon because the Father consistently lights up the area. And we're also told that there is no darkness in heaven. We're told that there is no pain, no sorrow, no mourning. There is no dying and there is no crying in heaven. When Jesus Christ was in heaven, before he came down to this earth, he was in complete paradise. So just the fact that he came down here, even though he is God, and as we heard in the scripture reading, even though he was equal to God, he decided to be humble for our sakes. Brother Gary, get for me 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet you, for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich.
So when Jesus Christ was up there in heaven, he was rich. He had everything in a perfect manner. And church, I'll tell you this, if I was up in heaven, I definitely would not want to come back down here. I would not even want to come back to this sin sick world. We look at all the things that's happening on TV and we look at what's going on out in the streets and it's like, man, like if I was up there in heaven, I wouldn't even want to come back. The thing about Jesus is that he was very humble. In other words, he was a servant. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28 tells us that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So that means that everything he did while he was here on earth was for our sake. Also, Jesus humbled himself while he was here on earth, allowing himself to be tempted just like we are in all ways. Jesus was tempted with every sin that you have fallen short to. But the difference between us and Jesus is that when he was tempted, he did not sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, it tells us that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but he was tempted just like we were, yet he did not sin. Fornication, adultery, greed, lying, pride, all of that, he was tempted. Yet he did not fall short. Another thing I can say about Jesus is that not only is he God, but he was just as much human as he was God, as he is God, excuse me. He was human, just like he is God. When Jesus was here on this earth, he humbled himself. He allowed his body to feel pain. He allowed his body to hunger. He allowed his body to thirst. He allowed his body to go through a lot of tough things, just like we do here on this earth. So about Jesus Christ, when we look at how he entered the world, he did not enter as a royal emperor that came down from the sky, accompanied by 10,000 angels with some loud trumpets. He did not do that. When Jesus came here on this earth, he came through the womb of a virgin known as Mary. And when we read in scripture, we can see that Jesus was not born in the most comfortable environment. In other words, we know that we can see that in Luke chapter 2 that Joseph had took Mary and himself down from Galilee, the city of Nazareth, down to Bethlehem, which was in Judea. And there, while they were getting accounted as far as with a census, that is where Mary went into labor for Jesus Christ. Go ahead and forget, get for me Luke chapter 2 in verse number 7, Brother Gary. Luke chapter 2 in verse number 7. Let's look at the scenario in which Jesus was born.
And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Okay, so church, Jesus Christ was not born in a royal palace.
That's right.
In the middle of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ was not born at Methodist Hospital, Memorial Hermann. The scripture tells us that when Jesus had been born, that he could not even be laid in an inn. Now, I know we don't use the term inn that much, but inn is equivalent to a motel. Yeah. In other words, Mary could not even get in a Motel 8. Not even for $49.99 a night. She could not even get into that. Instead, what she had to do was she had to lay him in a manger. Brother Adams, if you wouldn't mind, could you put up a picture of a manger?
Wake him up, man.
All right. A manger right there, church, is where you put slop for an animal to dip their head in there, and that's where they eat their food. When Jesus Christ was born, he was put into something similar like that. How humble is that, church? Jesus Christ, who actually is God, was placed in something like that after he was born as a human. And by the way, while I'm talking about this, let me emphasize this. Mary is the mother of Jesus, but Mary is not the mother of God. In other words, Jesus was God before he even came out of Mary's womb. I just thought I had to say something about that, because there's some in the denominational world that says that Mary is a mother of God and God came out of her womb. I just had to clarify that. But anyways, after Jesus Christ had been born, after he had been laid in that inn, Joseph took Mary and Jesus back into Galilee. And that is where Jesus spent his childhood. Galilee was definitely it was a Jewish area, Jewish culture, but it was different than the Jewish culture that was over in Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus growing up in Nazareth itself was very humble, very lowly. In other words, Galilee was surrounded around a bunch of Gentile nations, and it was not a respected side of town. But Jesus grew up there, and he spent a good portion of his ministry in Nazareth. Also, when I look at Jesus, I see that Jesus was very humble while growing up. We can see that in the book of Luke, chapter 2, we can see that Jesus and his parents, they had went over to celebrate the Passover. And while celebrating the Passover, they participated in all the activities. And then we're told that Jesus' parents had left Jerusalem and went back towards Galilee. After being gone for a day, they realized that Jesus was gone. And then they went back and looked for Jesus. And it took them 2 days to find him. And Jesus was in the temple teaching about the word of God. And Jesus humbled himself down to his parents. His parents wanted him to come back. Jesus knew that it wasn't his time to get fully involved in ministry. He listened to his parents and he went back to Galilee with them. So what I'm saying is that Jesus showed the perfect example for those that are children, those that are living with our parents. That is a perfect example of showing us the type of child that we should be. That is how Jesus had humbled himself up. Another thing I want to say about Jesus, as I mentioned, he was tempted in every way like us. He went through some very hard temptations when he was out in the wilderness for 40 days. For 40 days, he was in the wilderness and Satan was tempting him. He was not eating. He was fasting the entire time. He was led into the wilderness. And then first Satan said, here's a stone. Take this stone and turn it into bread. But Jesus decided not to do that, because he knew that if he took the stone and turned it into bread, that would be showing a lack of faith. In other words, he would not be fully trusting God. So in other words, Jesus resisted the lust of the flesh and depended fully on God. He was not like the children of Israel who complained about what they would eat. So Jesus humbled himself by denying some of his natural desires in that scripture. Also, Satan had tempted Jesus when he took him up to a high place and said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all that you can see. That's what he said. And Jesus Christ did not bow down and worship because he knew that he was here to do the will of his Father. And then Satan took him to the temple. And Brother Adams, can you put up a picture of the temple? He took him to a temple and he was standing up there at the very top. And Satan said, if you are the Son of God, go ahead and jump off. And then the angels will come and rescue you. But Jesus did not jump off because he knew that he did not need to test God. God cannot be tempted. And he knew that would have been sinful to do something like that. What I'm saying, church, is that Jesus humbled himself. He knew exactly what his role was. Also, when we look at Jesus Christ, another thing we can say about him is that he associated with people who were often rejected in society. Get for me Mark chapter 2 and verse number 17. In this passage of scripture, Jesus had met with some sinners and tax collectors, and he sat down and he dined with them. Now, we know the Pharisees and Sadducees, they thought that he was crazy. They said, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with sinners and tax collectors? Church, what I'm saying is that Jesus Christ humbled himself down to develop relationships with people that most people wouldn't even want to deal with. Amen. Go ahead and get for me Mark chapter 2 and verse number 17.
And hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Amen. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
Okay. So one thing I love about this passage of scripture, it shows you what Jesus' purpose was. Not only did Jesus put himself in a lowly position and allow himself to associate with those people, but he had a purpose. His purpose of eating with sinners and tax collectors was not to be involved in their sin or to endorse their sin, but his purpose was to save them.
Amen. Good point.
Just as a doctor goes to work because they are hoping to help people out with their illnesses. They're not supposed to go there just to play around. They're supposed to go there and take care of business. And when you go to the doctor, you're not going there just to play around. You're there to take care of business.
Amen.
And us as Christians, when we are sitting down and eating or spending time with sinners, we need to make sure that we are doing it to edify the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That is a good way to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, Jesus Christ would have conversation with other lowly people in scripture. He humbled himself down in John chapter 8, and he talked about a woman. He talked with a woman who was involved in the very act of adultery. There were some rulers that had brought this woman here, and Jesus had told this woman, he said, turn away from your sin. In other words, they wanted to stone her because they were looking at the law of Moses. And Jesus said, if anyone be without sin, let him be the first to pick up a stone. So what I'm saying, church, is that he was able to relate to all people.
Amen.
All people. In John chapter 4, we can see that he was having a conversation with a Samaritan woman. There he broke a social barrier and he broke a racial barrier. It wasn't meant for Jews to be associating with Samaritans. But Jesus humbled himself down, regardless of what people were thinking. He still sat there, had a conversation with that woman, and told her that, you know, that well, Jacob's well, that's not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. He told her that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in both spirit and in truth. Another thing I can say about Jesus, we know that Jesus had performed many miraculous signs while he was here on this earth. There's one instance in which there was a large group of people that followed him out to the wilderness, and out there in the wilderness, there was five loaves of bread and there was two fish, and there were 5,000 people that were hungry. So what Jesus did is that he took the five loaves of bread, he took the two fish, and then he turned into an all-you-can-eat buffet. In other words, all 5,000 of those people ate. And then he had his disciples to go around and collect the leftovers because it was that much food. So, church, what I'm saying is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he did a lot of great things. Amen. And then after he had performed that miracle, Jesus had humbled himself down in another way. John chapter 6 and verse number 15. Go ahead and get that for me, Brother Gary.
So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone.
Okay. So after Jesus had performed this great miraculous sign, the people wanted to make him king. Yes. Jesus could have been king. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 15 tells us that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He could have easily taken his honor and recognition there. When Jesus Christ was standing before Pontius Pilate, he could have easily said that he could have easily established a kingdom here. But instead, in John 18:36, he said that my kingdom is not of this world. If it were so, then he would have people fighting for him. And then, church, Jesus also humbled himself down. This is my favorite part, church. Jesus humbled himself down to die for something that he did not do, just so you and I can be saved. When Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane towards the end of his life, Judas, one of his own 12, had betrayed him. Yes. People had approached him with lanterns and weapons like he was a robber, like he had committed a crime. There, Judas had betrayed him. One of his disciples, Peter, picked up a sword, tried to fight for him. Jesus told him, put down the sword. He could have easily had his 12 or his 11 disciples fight for him, but he didn't. He could have called 12 legions of angels to come down from heaven and save him, but he didn't. That's right. After getting arrested, he was brought over to the house of Annas, who was a father-in-law of the high priest. There he was questioned about his teachings. He was questioned about who he was. From there, he went over to the house of the high priest. Yes. There the people met together. They were trying to find a false testimony for Jesus, but they could not even agree. Then finally, they asked him whether he was the Son of God, and he confessed to it. Afterwards, they hit him in the face. They said, prophesy to us. Tell us who hit you. They beat him. They spat on him. Then after that, they brought him over to Pontius Pilate. After bringing him over to Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate said, I find no guilt in him. They told Pontius Pilate that they were bringing him in because they knew he was an evildoer and something was wrong. And they told him that he was stirring up the people. After that, Pontius Pilate had sent him over to King Herod. And there, King Herod also could not find any fault in him. So then after doing all of that, Pontius Pilate said, I find no guilt in him. Who do you want me to release? Barabbas or Jesus? Then after that, the people said, Barabbas. And they said, what about Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate's intention was just to chastise him and then release him. But no, that wasn't enough. Jesus Christ humbled himself, allowed himself to be scourged. When a person is scourged, that means that they are beaten down so they cannot stand anymore. After doing that, Pontius Pilate gave in to the will of the people. Jesus Christ carried his own cross as he was going up Calvary, but then he could not make it all the way there. So then a man by the name of Simon had to help him bring the cross up. And then there they crucified him in between two thieves. After that, Jesus Christ, he hung on that cross for 6 long hours. He did all that because he loves me and you. Jesus Christ humbled himself. He became obedient even to the point of death. And I'm thankful that when Jesus Christ had died on the cross, I'm thankful that they buried him right away. I'm glad they didn't hold his body for more than a week or 2 weeks. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ had to rise on the third day. They sealed his tomb, but he still rose up. They put 2 soldiers there to guard the tomb, but he still rose up. There were some soldiers that lied about his resurrection, but Jesus Christ still proved that he rose by appearing to over 500 men. So, church, what I'm saying is that Jesus Christ loves us. Jesus Christ humbled himself down, and he did all this for me and you. And all he asks for us to do is just to love him. John chapter 14 and verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. All we have to do is obey what Jesus Christ commanded. If you are here today and you are not a Christian, Oh, what a great opportunity this is for you.
Yes.
The way how to become a Christian is very simple. The first thing you must do is you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen. He humbled himself down and did all this for me and you. Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is a power unto God for all who believe. So the gospel is what God uses to save us. After hearing the gospel, we must be willing to believe it. Jesus Christ tells us that, I tell you the truth, unless you believe who I say I am, you indeed die in your sins.
Amen.
After that, we must be willing to confess our belief in Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Afterwards, we must obey the gospel through repentance and baptism. Jesus Christ died on a cross. You have to die to sin. Jesus Christ was buried in Joseph's tomb. You have to be buried in a water grave of baptism. Jesus Christ rose up from the dead to never die again. You have to rise up from the water grave of baptism to walk in the newness of life. Also, if you are here today and you are not already a member of the Church of Christ, and you have a confession or you have a sin you need to repent of, then come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Careless soul, why will you?